Welcome to the first episode of DTMF Radio with your host Crash Dust
and A13 Air.
Today we're going to be covering a lot of off-topic topics, not considering with phones because we're off-topic people.
Yeah, we're going to take a little bit of poetic license with DTMF Radio. It's not going to be just phones.
Yeah.
Think BenRev.
Yeah, think BenRev with the wrong name thing going on because
yeah.
We don't have the right.
Yeah, today we'll be going over a little bit of AIM virus.
AIM virus, yes. And discovering passwords in memory.
And then we'll hit up, we got a new iTunes version out.
iTunes version, yes. It's new, supposedly.
4.5.
Yeah.
Higher number. Lower bit rate.
Same name. Also, we have a little war driving topic and school insecurity, because schools are not secure.
And then I think we're going to, are you going over the open office stuff as well?
If you want to, I really don't care.
Yeah, might as well.
Might as well.
A little bit of Microsoft bashing never hurt.
Yeah, MS stuff. Okay.
And then I guess we could end it off with the 2600 meeting. We're
Tampa 2600 local meeting, yeah.
Tampa 2600, University Mall next Friday.
Bring your crap. Anything.
Yeah, we'll go over it more at the end.
Yes.
So I guess I could go ahead and get started with this AIM virus. Yeah, it's nothing really new. It's pretty much like the virus has been going around, the Osama bin Laden found virus in email.
Mm-hmm. Mass mailing.
Except this one goes over, from what I'm reading, just the AOL Instant Messenger network.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing. You get an instant message from one of your friends that says, would you like to play the Osama bin Laden found game?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds interesting. You know, you might click it. I mean,
Osama bin Laden, you know.
Yeah, it's one of your friends.
Yeah.
So you click it, and it starts to download this game. Well,
yeah.
What if you don't want it? So you press stop. Well, you just save yourself from a world of hurt. Because if you would have downloaded it, it's going to get some interesting stuff.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, adware that will just, you know, the usual, log your habits, send you some nice pop-ups. And then it sends itself out to everyone else. So then all of your friends can also enjoy this
wonderful
virus. Yeah, the article goes on and says that it's just like the email version, except it's only going over the insecure AIM network. And they also came up with this new word that I don't really understand. It goes like this. This is called SPIM. S-P-I-M. Spam over instant messaging.
Spam.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
I think it's a play on words of spam on email. This
yeah.
Be spam on AIM. Maybe.
They say that it's known as spam. I've never heard that. Have you heard that?
No, I've never heard spam.
So they're just making up words, I think.
I do promise that word will now be in my vocabulary.
Yeah, spam is an interesting word. Everyone
spam.
Should use it.
Fun word.
All right, and of course the usual, they go into hackers.
Hackers.
Now, this virus can't come from someone jokingly. It has to come from those evil hackers.
Oh, of course. They purposefully
did
it.
And this is interesting. It says that IAM users are especially susceptible to social engineering, meaning attacks that prey on humans.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're coming up with some pretty good words for this to scare people.
Nice big headline words that attract attention.
Oh, yeah.
Another off-topic thing on social engineering is, I don't know if you guys know or not, or if you read, Root Secure had an article on that, like, 80% of people will give up their password for a piece of chocolate. For a piece of chocolate.
Now, these are your normal AIM users, and just listen to this. They have estimated 162 million consumer IAM accounts worldwide.
Yeah.
82, that's this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a past episode of BenRev, Stank Dog said that AIM believes that they're invincible and that they can force all those advertisements upon you, like those little videos that play for movies, that they believe that they can get away with anything because there's no way anyone would switch. There is no alternative.
Well, it must be working because this says that they have 524 million customer email accounts. And as we all know, whenever you sign up with AIM, you also get a nice email package.
Ooh, of course.
So,
I believe I have multiple accounts on AIM that I don't use very often besides one.
And then at the end of this, they go over back to the hacker thing. Now, it goes completely away from AIM. It goes into MSN and then goes into programming habits.
Uh-huh.
It goes on, the warning almost exclusively have involved buffer overflow, attacks a common software error. This programming defect allows a hacker to overwhelm the system with a string of characters too large for a particular input field and sometimes seize control.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I thought it was just a mass IMing virus that just spread through IM. It didn't actually, I know it infects your computer with adware, but it actually does a buffer overflow?
Well, either it does a buffer overflow, or the person that wrote this article, Nick Gorelu, he's not very smart. He just goes off topic, I'm assuming.
He used just big, nice, fancy words that sound dangerous.
Yeah.
Of course.
And to top it all off, he goes back into how people use the direct connect with AIM and MSN. They must have it. I don't use it. They use this as file sharing. They bring the RIAA into the topic.
Well,
which
you can file share through AIM if you wish. I mean, it's a very slow alternative.
So it's not person to person. It goes through the AIM network?
Yeah.
See, I've never used it before, so
you can't direct connect with anything.
So there you have it. AIM sucks. They're fearing social engineers and evil hacksaws that take buffer overflows somewhere in this Osama bin Laden virus.
Okay. I have many articles to talk about. I don't know which one to be. How about, here's an article. Adobe Photoshop, there was a rumor going around that they prevented piracy by any images of $20 bills. I'm reading this out of Wired magazine. Any images of $20 bills or higher, it would bring up an error saying that this application does not support unauthorized processing of banknote images.
Wait. How do they know that it's a United States bill, $20 or more?
It doesn't go into that. It does because Adobe Photoshop won't comment on it. They denied it for many years. I think this article says that they admit to it being an anti-fraud thing.
So they have some secret thing that processes images to check for?
Might have a underlying thing noting the pixel.
Well, what if your scanner really sucks and it's just one big green blur?
It probably won't notice. That's a good test.
Well, that's of no use anyway, but
right.
We're assuming that it's really high resolution. It can pick up anything.
Yeah, well, the picture in the magazine is a very good picture of a $20 bill. I mean, they add some pixelation to make it so, like, crappy looking, but...
Well, then, I guess if you're going to be making money, don't use Photoshop.
Well, there's a lot of other things, obviously. There's they go into certain new HP printers and copy machines. They'll only... When you say you put a $20 bill in to make a copy of, it'll start the copy. The page will. They'll make a copy of like 1 inch of the bill, but then it'll turn out with an error saying "Go to rulesofuse.org." I guess it's some anti-counterfeiting site.
I think we should check that out.
Haven't been to that. And a lot of other softwares, Photoshop CS, pops up with error messages. And this is showing how the government is slowly controlling our software. And I also heard of Longhorn. Longhorn wants to do this thing where they monitor every processing running on your computer so that they can prevent viruses. Supposedly that's like the plus that they're masking their thing under, but they also want to know every file that's gone through and out of your computer to see if it's changed. And every file leaves a unique ID on the file.
That sounds interesting.
It makes it so that the RIAA or MPAA to track that movie file to the direct computer that started it.
Now, whenever Longhorn comes out, I'll buy a computer that comes with it for one reason and one reason only. It takes a gig of RAM to run it. It takes crazy graphics card to run it and a 64-bit processor.
Right.
Because this thing is going to suck.
It's going to be total bloatware to the max.
Well, see, now, desktops right now, the average, you pick it up at Best Buy, are between, what, $300 for the E-machines and up to...
$500 for a Dell.
Yeah, and then they have some Sony Vios that I think are around $1,600 or $2,000. So now to keep people buying them, I'm willing to bet the same cost as one of these computers that they're going to lower the price of this hardware to fit it in that same bracket.
Well, that's what China's for. They got those Chinese over there pumping out those hardware as fast as you can say. Mississippi, man, they're like, they're over there building that crap so fast and so cheap that there's no way that anything can compete with them.
Well, then you'd have to worry about, is it the same quality?
No.
Yeah. So
they don't care.
It all sucks. So let's just hope that the Dell doesn't acquire some Chinese hardware manufacturing plant. Because we know how bad that's going to suck.
They already have. I mean, how else are they getting a computer for $500 that...
I don't know, mate. Let's hope that this isn't sweatshop.
I'm sure it is sweatshop.
Well, Walmart's selling them at the same price, and we all know that they use sweatshop labor. So,
well, Walmart is actually lower price. I believe it was you that actually sent me an article on Walmart using Linux.
Yeah, they have the Linux for Everyone distribution. I think
Linux
it was
for Everyone. Something nice.
That sounds nice.
But
and. In a completely unrelated topic about SCO, I read this earlier while I was cruising around looking for stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an article about Linux users, and something like 96% of all desktop PCs use Windows, and 3% of that is Linux, and 3% is Mac. I don't know if that's accurate, but anyway, at the bottom they were talking about all these big corporations like AutoZone that are using Linux are fearing that they might have to shell out some money.
Uh-huh.
They offered a link to sign up for this membership pretty much so that if SCO does get what they want, that you won't get sued. That you'll go ahead and pay for your license.
Uh-huh.
But the price for it was $50 a year. For a person, and I believe it was $500 or $600 for a corporation. And
well,
they haven't even got this yet, and they're already offering this.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just like a trap to get your money, obviously.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're just going to use it in their lawsuit anyway.
Uh-huh.
Just in case Microsoft can't back them anymore for whatever reason.
Well, we all know that the only reason Walmart is even using Linux, that's kind of off topic, but the only reason Walmart is using Linux is because it's free. Walmart being cheap, redneck trash that they are, they want to get the best-sounding computer, cheapest operating system. They don't want to have to support Windows with all their expensive operating systems because they're cheap. They want to be able to sell their computer so cheap that anyone that doesn't know anything about computers will go there because this is the cheapest price.
I think someone should try this. Next time someone's looking to buy a computer, they should ask them if they would rather go up to Best Buy, spend $1,200 on an XP box, or if they'd rather go to Walmart, spend $250 or $300 for a Linux box with some god-awful distro. I'm willing to bet they'd go to Walmart. Would they know what Linux is or know how to use it?
No.
I'm betting not. Now, it's probably going to be a Windows themed distro,
mm-hmm.
all pretty like with a start button and all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
this Linux for Everyone, I've never heard of this until now.
Yeah, I've never heard of that either.
If anyone's heard about it, email us.
Yeah, and we'll go ahead and give out the email address for that temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
The email address is dtmfradio@yahoo.com. We'll be getting a different email soon, but that's what we're using now.
All right. So email us. Comments on the show, too, because we don't know how this is going to come out.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and give out all the other contact info at the very end.
Yeah.
So I guess I could go ahead and get into this iTunes thing, since
mm-hmm.
I'm sure these people that are buying Linux boxes at Walmart use iTunes.
Of course.
I know I do.
I know I do, too.
Well, not really. Apple released the new iTunes version 4.5 earlier this week, and the new features... it's probably going to attract some more people. But beware, these features aren't all they look to be. And there are some downsides. Now we're going to get a little background info of it. They've been getting 2.7 million downloads a week at 99 cents. Do the math.
Now, how much do you think it costs them to actually host these files?
Next to nothing.
Maybe a million at max.
Okay, they have 700,000 different songs, and I don't know what the bitrate is on those, how big they are, but someone could probably do the math, figure out what kind of internet service they need for this, how much it costs. I'm sure it's not much. They're making plenty.
I predict that, obviously, Apple is swinging towards the media market. Yes, their desktops, I don't want to get any flames for this, their desktops and notebooks are very great, but...
Well, I like their notebooks.
Yeah, I love their notebooks. They're awesome.
I don't like their desktops that much, but that's just my personal preference.
Yeah. They're great operating systems, but be honest, not a very lot of people are using them.
Yeah.
They're hurting. They're hurting in the desktop and computer industry.
It wouldn't be so bad if their iTunes was better.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's it. iTunes is going to save them. iTunes, they're making the most money off iTunes and iPod right now.
Sadly, they are, with 2.7 million downloads and 99 cents each.
And then the iPod, what's that, $500?
I think it's $300 for the 20 gig.
That's the iPod Mini.
I'll look it up real quick.
The regular iPod is 40 gig, I believe, and I think it's $500 around there.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now. I have to find this one. The mini iPod is $249.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say what size it is.
It's 20 gig, I think.
I don't know if it is 20 gig. This might be like a 15 or 10. But the full-size regular Apple iPod 20 gig is $400.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at an ad for it. And I don't know. I haven't ever used one. They might be good, but...
I actually had the chance to look at one in the Apple store and fiddle with it. And it's a very solid, well-built MP3 player compared to my shitty little Bang Bang MP3 player. It holds a shitload of songs.
Well, with this iTunes format, it should.
Yeah. Oh, well, did you mention that iTunes now supports WMA?
That's part of the new features.
New features.
The new features list. I'll go ahead and read over that. They have support for Windows Media Audio now. I guess you can take your crappy Windows Media Audio and turn it into the crappy iTunes audio.
AAC, or is that it? AAC?
Yeah, AAC format.
Yeah.
They also have a free download every Tuesday.
Ooh.
So you can get one song every Tuesday. I don't know if you have to sign up first. I'm not worried.
Just hearing that, it sounds like a restaurant, like kids eat free on Thursdays. It just sounds kind of cheesy.
Hey, it's getting them money, I guess.
Yeah, 99 cents a download. Personally, I believe that's overpriced. I'd be willing to pay 25 cents at most.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, it does not cost them 99 cents to send you a file. It depends how large it is.
Oh, well. Now, here's the only downside that they list to the new version. Instead of being able to have 10 burns, it's now 7.
Yeah.
So, only 7 CDRs. But wait, now instead of 3 computers, you can put it on up to 5.
Ooh. Well, they wanted to get rid of the sharing on college campuses because if you, like one guy, everyone chips in, pays for one song on someone's computer, and then they just copy the to 6 CDs or whatever. They all got it. But they can't make it to such a low many times you can copy it, because then it'd just be, like, unethical. I mean, if you pay for something and you can only have it once, then that CD, you lawfully lose it or break it, and you're not allowed to back it up. I don't see how that they can get away with something like that.
Well, according to C4, whenever he was using the Pepsi points to get iTunes songs, he had some points saved up and lost the songs, I believe, and he went and asked for it to get another download, and they told him to go fuck himself, pretty much. He couldn't do it. He had to get, another point, but they won't let you re-download. You have to pay for it again.
Yeah. That's obviously leaked. because how hard would it be for them, honestly, to store your, like, your credit card payment and songs you purchased on a database somewhere?
I'm sure they do, but they don't want to admit to it.
Yeah.
If they would.
Right.
Oh, well, that's pretty much all I have about iTunes. All in all, iTunes sucks. New number, still crappy music.
Alright.
So I guess you can go into your...
Discovering passwords in the memory?
There you go. Discovering passwords.
Okay, I got this file off a website. I honestly don't remember the website. I can link it in the show notes. This article is written by... Oh, I cannot pronounce the name. A very fine Indian man. We'll just call him that.
Alright.
I cannot pronounce his name. It's an article on discovering passwords in the memory. It's, I'll read it off. Escalation of privileges is a common method of attack where a low-privileged user exploits the vulnerability to become an administrator or higher-privileged user. This one goes into saying that, Windows does not protect the registry from being used from any user, so anyone can edit that and read it. Also, the memory, the memory is always unencrypted and is very vulnerable.
Well,
it goes into how to using a memory viewer to display what's going on and searching for different passwords. It tells you the strings that the memory refers to for certain passwords.
Well, they don't need to encrypt this. And the reason is they have to catch all these elite hacksaws with their viruses. That's their goal. Leave everything unsecure so that they can watch.
Oh, of course. Here's it says, when do passwords stay in memory? When the application server is started, it reads the Java command line. This is an example. Arguments and environment variables and binds itself to a TCP port. The application takes the identity of the operating system user and security group. The application also consults the configuration file to get all configuration in the startup with an administrator password into memory in plain text. Among other things, configuration file can provide information on database connection sources, database login passwords. The server also loads these passwords into memory in plain text again.
Wow.
So, if you can get a memory viewer, you can view almost anything going on. There's screenshots of it going on right here. And the string they use is authent, AUTH-password. And that's the most commonly used string before a password. And they're using, oh, I can't read. They're using, what's the program they're using here? Oh, shit. They're using something. It's a memory viewer. I can't read the screenshot. Too fuzzy.
We'll put up in the show notes.
Yeah, show notes. So, basically, the conditions favoring stealing of the password is a low-privileged operating system user can inflict damage by logging into the OS account and finding high-privileged passwords. If you can get into a computer with a default login like guest or the low-privileged account that they give you, the memory is not going to be protected. So if you can use a memory viewer to extract the passwords, and they're very easily available and simple to use. So this is just an example of how, like, anyone can get in by finding administrator passwords or passwords used recently on the web, on databases, connecting to servers. So you sit there and wait for someone to log into something and they think they log out and they're safe. They're most likely their password is still active in the memory. And the program they're using is WinHex.
Well, WinHex?
Uh-huh.
WINHEX.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's probably easily found. Sounds like a unique file.
Yeah, sounds like a very commonly used program.
Well, I guess we can go from password cracking and simple text to your school's
insecurities.
A little bit of war sitting.
War classroom sitting. I don't know how to put this. War walking, maybe? easy name for this would be Tech TV Kitties Very Easily Impressed. going to school today, had to bring my laptop because I have a project to do, and schools are too cheap to buy PowerPoint. At least in my school they are, because, oh, that's a totally another subject. I'll cover that later. They're too cheap to let you use PowerPoint. They don't support it. They don't trust you with media. You cannot bring floppy disks, memory disks, CDs, anything in. Good reason. I mean, last year they were hit by a big virus. But then again, but what really pisses me off, they block FTP ports. So I cannot do work at the school and upload my work to, like, a web server and then get it back when I'm at home. I mean, that's just, like, getting in the way of me being a productive student. Honestly.
Well, that's how the world works now. Instead of fixing a problem, just make it not work.
No, they fixed a very simple problem to be fixed, which would be called supervision. If a teacher was in the area where the stuff was going on, they could catch most stuff. I mean, it's very obvious when a kid opens a CD tray. You can hear it. It's very obvious when some kid takes out a floppy disk. I mean, unless they're in an undisclosed corner.
Yeah, well, like always, it's never their problem. It's always someone else.
Okay, now on to the war sitting walking slash classroom doing crap. All right. Go to school. Net Stumbler installed, of course. I boot up into XP. Sitting in biology class, and I'm getting some signals, obviously, my little thing chiming at me, saying, finding wireless networks, and I know for a fact that the library at my school has wireless networks, because they let you rent out laptops, and those laptops are horrendous. They have so much locked down. Well, it's all irrelevant, all the security they enable, because I know ways around it. They don't let you click when you click the start button, it automatically goes to shut down. You cannot use it. They think they can block out my computer because when you click it, nothing happens. Click C drive, nothing happens. But they leave certain folders open because they have to. Now, I'll go into how do I get around these. I mean, it's very obvious. Click on my documents. They leave that folder open. In the, I don't know, URL bar, I mean, that's what it is in IE, considering how IE is implemented into everything in Windows.
The address bar?
Address bar, yeah.
Yeah. Windows users.
My documents. All you have to type is my computer, and you just got in. That's how simple it is at my school. Type my computer, and they think they're so smart because they're blocking that, and it takes literally less than a second, and I get in. And then another thing is, you can't get certain files in there. So what I do is Control-Alt-Delete. Do Control-Alt-Delete. Task manager, there's an option to run a task. Click that, and you have a run command. I mean, then you can do anything. And I think it's stupid how they think that they can block stuff and get away with it. I mean, they are blocking the majority of students that are too stupid.
The elite hacksaws of the world.
Right. They're blocking the kitty kitties and tech TV worshippers.
But then the people that need it for good reason are just
The only reason, of course, that I'm doing this is for good reason. I'm just trying to figure out where to save my files so I can work on it later. Back on the laptop subject. So, found some wireless access points in biology, started up Snort trying to crack some packets, figuring, of course, they would have some kind of weapon enabled.
And I'm guessing they didn't.
No, of course they didn't. Security administrator's dumb as a brick. I don't even know why.
So instead of securing things they should, they block other things.
Right, right. They block the start button before they enable web.
So they just go through it. They're like Microsoft. Take one thing at a time.
Right. Just going through the small things first. So last period in the library, boot up laptop. Logging packets, saving my packets so I can go through, save it up so I can get enough to do a web encryption. But before I'm even done getting enough packets, Windows is so handy. They automatically say I'm connected to a new network.
Oh, how convenient.
How convenient. And I'm wondering to myself, how is this possible? They have to have some kind of a security enabled. And I clicked up IE to see if I'm actually connected, and I got the internet, and of course all the tech TV kids are like, wow, you hacked into their system, can you get my grades changed? I'm like, no man, it's just on default, or right? Don't be that.
I have a quick question.
What?
I would like everyone to answer this for me.
All right.
Just like a general poll of everyone. Whenever someone asks you if you're a hacker, isn't the second question, like if you're in school, out of their mouth always, can you change my grades?
Change my grades.
Oh, man. I've heard that all too often.
First off, the answer is no.
Well,
If I could, no.
I just tell them they don't know anybody. I'm like, they're Max. And they're like, oh. And they go away.
I ignore them usually. A lot of people, they know I'm very good in computers, but I don't admit to being a hacker. I admit to it too. It's obvious. I mean, if you've met me, it's very obvious that I'm very into computers and that I'm into computer security.
And phones. Remember, this is a phone show.
This is a phone show, people. DTMF Radio.
But this is our computer special.
Computer special. First episode is computers. So next episode, we promise we'll have some more things on phones.
All right. So how did you amaze these Tech TV kids?
Oh, Tech TV skitties. Very easily amazed. They're like, wow, you hacked toward their system. You got in. Man, you're so cool. And I'm like, no, it was on default. It's Windows automatically logged me in. And after I even said that, they're still in shock and awe because I could get on the school's magical network that was so mysterious and so supposedly locked down. And from there, possibilities are endless. Just to give you an example of how tight anal retentive the system administrator is, NetMessage. If you NetMessage anything, he freaks out. He's like, he pissed me off so much. I taught somebody how to net message. All right, we had a substitute one day in the class, and we all have laptops in there to work on. I taught them all how to use command prompt, find the IP of the computer they were on, and taught them how to net message a certain IP. Nothing special, you know, just easy crap. And I told them, listen, I did not teach you this, because I knew that they'd get in trouble if they did it. And you're going to take full responsibility for your actions. I'm purely providing you knowledge. First one that sends a net message to the retarded kid in the class, retarded kid freaks out. I got a message. What the hell's going on, you know? Teacher goes over, looks at the IP, calls the administrator. They got a list of the IPs. Comes in, and the one kid that was with me, he admits to doing it. Says he's sorry, blah, 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 bull crap. And then the administrator goes, well, where did you learn this? He's like, oh, well, that kid told me, and me being that kid. And I get in more trouble than he did for merely teaching them how to do it. And it was very personally funny to me while I'm sitting in the dean's office that the system administrator, I still to this day did not believe I did anything wrong. I purely taught them something. Which can be used for good, and really, there's no evil in it. This administrator literally pointing towards me, saying, look at him, he doesn't even think he did anything wrong, look at him. And I had a smirk on my face, laughed to myself, saying, that's right, I don't think I did anything wrong, and really pissing him off, and so, you know, they gave me some suspensions, and in the end, I got punished more than the other kid, but what really happened is, this is a lesson, to go along, play along with their game, make them look like you're sorry, bow down to their ultimate power that they believe they have. Because if you don't, in the end, you're going to be punished more.
Because they don't understand.
They fear you. They honestly feared me because I knew how to find an IP address. I mean, it's very sad. And the other teachers, when I explain to them what happened, they're like, why did you get punished? I'm like, well, I don't know, ask the teacher, ask the administrator guy. They're like, what'd you do, go on porn websites or something? Well, what could you do on a computer, that'd be so wrong. And I'm like, I don't know, I honestly don't know, I didn't do anything wrong. Some people can think I did something wrong, some people cannot. In my opinion, I merely taught people knowledge, and I believe knowledge should be free, and I believe that if anyone has a question, that they should be free to ask it, and someone should give them an unbiased answer. And that's what I did. the original kid actually asked me, teach me something cool to do with a computer. And I taught him how to net message. I mean, it's a very simple thing. And they enjoyed it. I mean, they net messaged each other, but the second one of them was dumb and net messaged the retarded kid in the class, freaks out and tells. So, as a warning to all fellow technology hacker people out there that are cool and Lito cool Uberness, someone asks you to teach them something cool.
Teach them something different.
Teach them something different. Oh, no, no, no. I don't know how to put this. Teach them something that won't get you in trouble. Teach them something that they cannot do on the school computers because they come after you because you're the source of the knowledge. This is a problem with Bernie S. case. He sold Redbox crystals. Was that him?
I believe.
Anyone correct me if I'm wrong. I know someone has was selling Redbox crystals, and they arrested him for merely selling the crystals, not for using them. And they charged him with like something that can be used for a crime. A lot of things can be used for a crime. They should outlaw baseball bats because they can be used to murder people.
Everything can be used to commit any crime.
Baseball bats, balls.
Well, just give it 10 years and then everything will be illegal.
Yes, 10 years. And we will be fully monitored and bugged.
With a barcode on the back of our neck.
Yeah.
Chips in our brain.
Speaking of that, I donated $5 to the EFF a couple days ago.
There you go. Everyone donate money.
So good. So yeah, that's just a little message for you. On my personal struggles in the public school government controlled community.
Well, do you want to go ahead and wrap this up since that's all of our main topics?
Yes. Attempt the 2600 meeting.
Yeah, we have the first 2600 meeting for Tampa.
Tampa, yes.
Next Friday, University Mall, 6 p.m.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.?
I'm not sure. Damn it.
I'm pretty sure it's 6.
Hang on. Oh, crap.
Go check BenRev. Anyway, while he's checking that, it'll be in the food court. I believe he's going to be there early with some stuff set up.
Me, yeah, I'm carrying actually a duffel bag so full of crap that it looks like I have bombs, so I'm afraid.
And is it correct that you will have giveaways?
Yes, I will be giving away, a lot of crap. I don't even know. Some posters, Microsoft posters.
Security posters, right?
Security posters, yeah, the ones that were given away free a long time ago, I mailed some out. Some people on the board for free. I have 3 left over, and I will gladly give them away. And also, I have, I'll be playing Revolution OS.
Just in case someone's bored or whatever.
I'm bringing a lot of books so we can all read, because that's reading's fun.
And
it's at 6 p.m., damn it, you're right.
Yeah, see. And, also, everyone bring notebooks.
Notebooks, take notes.
I want to try and get, well, me and at least someone else is asking about this, just go ahead and get a directory of all the payphones in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be fun.
Yeah, sounds okay. I'm going to bring my scanner, listen to the cops, because that's fun.
Always fun.
That's
I believe that's all we have.
Yes, that's all we have for today's episode, and probably this is our first episode and our bi-weekly, monthly, don't know yet.
When it happens, it'll be up on, we don't have a site up yet. I will provide information on when the site does work.
What's the news with the site?
I'm working on getting hosting from Data Machine, and...
Uh-huh.
They are currently changing over to the server that's at Kiroshi's house.
Uh-huh.
And right now everything's down, and it should be up next week. And whenever it is up, I have been promised, I guess, dtmfradio.datamachine.net.
Uh-huh.
And whenever that gets back up, it'll up and get everything there. But for now, since everyone will have to download this, they would have already known, but it's being hosted by Kizzle on hackermedia.net.
Yes.
Shouts to Kizzle for the help, helping us out.
Yeah, did you hear Kizzle's Uber Elite radio?
That was pretty good radio.
Yeah, total eight minutes, I believe.
I like the Lycos.com. I might have to buy that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and give out contact info in case anyone has anything to like.
You can email me at cr45du57@hotmail.com because taking up MSN space is a good thing to do.
And I'm taking up AOL space at poser712, poser712@aol.com. But if you'd like to just send info back to either one of us for the radio, send that to dtmfradio@yahoo.com. By the way, we're hitting up all the free email services. Just spread things out. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail in our leisure mailbox, that's 206-312-8697. Again, 206-312-8697. And
I have to dial 1 before that number.
Yeah, probably a 1.
Most likely. Leave all your comments, thoughts for the show. Tell us if we suck ass or if the show's, like, awesome or, again, if we just, like, get it off the computer because it's the most formal radio show. Or change the name. Recommend a name.
Yeah, this is a impromptu name that I just used as a joke that we stuck with.
Yeah.
If anyone has a better name, feel free. We're up for change.
Yeah. So leave your comments, suggestions, and thoughts at the laser voicemail box.
And the closing track is from Rabbit in the Moon. I don't know the track name, only the artist. So I guess that's all from DTMF Radio Episode 1.
Out.
Later.